Chapter 5. Dun Meggan. Duel's eyes opened to a song of screams. So it had been every night for the past 3 weeks, crammed in with the other captives, flogged south and west across endless, frozen miles through the Ossian wastes, past ruined duns and decimated farmland, and the old feasts of fat crows. Her journey was torture, despite the answers that might await her at the end of it. Though the valuables in Dior's wagon were fed better fare than the other prisoners, they were still so tight-packed there was no room to curl down to sleep, and the wagon floor so filthy only a madwoman might lie on it anyway. Dior dozed upright instead, crushed in beside Baptiste and young Isla Arquin, grabbing what rest she could during each day's stop. And every dusk, the screaming woke her. It was like some grim cock's crow heralding the fall of the sun. The scorched would rouse themselves to its tune, setting to work with shovels and picks to dig their masters from the cold cradles of their beds. They would rise, those dead things, and brushing black earth from their cold hands, the vampires would make the screaming stop. "Oh, my poor sweet Aaron," Baptiste whispered. Dior held the black thumb's hand, whispering that it would be over soon. It had been even more awful to begin with. Aaron had screamed for hours in those first few nights the Grail was imprisoned, beating the box they'd locked him in so hard that its iron walls buckled like parchment. It was Cain who fashioned the solution. Cruel, cold Cain, looking up from the corpse he'd just made, red dripping from his chin as he asked, "Why don't we just cut it off him?" And the wolf mother had dragged her teeth from the gasping dame she and Soraya had been sharing, sticky lips quirked in grim amusement. "Nay, your worst idea, cousin." Dior's eyes had welled with tears as they'd dragged Aaron from that box. The brave Capitaine of Avalane had been a giant when she last saw him, standing on the battlements of his mighty chateau. Beautiful blonde hair blowing in the wind, scarred face twisting as he spat defiance at the beast of Velaine and risked his entire city for a girl he'd only just met.
"My name is Aaron the Coster," he'd roared to Danton, "son of House Coster and the Blood Elon. I have been slaying your kind since I was but a boy, and I am a boy no longer."
No giant it was that the Divok dragged from that coffin. Aaron de Costa was a pitiful figure now, lordly clothes filthied, long blonde hair and beard matted with dried blood. His eyes were red, wild, his voice cracking with agony, and Dior sobbed as she looked into his screaming mouth and saw his canines grown long and sharp. "Oh, merciful God," she'd breathed. They'd held him down, Cain and Soraya, tearing the tunic from his back and unveiling the source of his agony. The ages that the sisters of Saint Michon had inked into Aaron's flesh as a boy. Once, it had served as his shield against the horrors of the night. But now, it was only silver. A cursed, poisonous bane burning beneath his dead skin. And taking a short, sharp knife from her boot, the wolf mother had knelt over Aaron's writhing body and begun relieving him of it. Nael, angel of bliss, sleeving his left forearm. Sarai, angel of plagues, at his bicep. A beautiful portrait of the Redeemer, covering his entire back. All these the wolf mother flayed away with her blade. She was deft as a butcher with a fresh flank of venison, Aaron's pallid flesh carved red as he roared and bucked. Baptiste had gripped the bars of their cage so tight, the iron cut into his skin, his face twisted in anguish and rage as he watched. "Don't look," Dieu had told him. "Don't let them torture you, too." The man's eyes were fixed on his lover, welling bright with pain. "Baptiste, don't listen," Dieu begged. "Talk to me. Tell me something good." He shook his head, whispering, "There is no good left now in this world, chérie." "Tell me how you two met." She kissed the man's big, calloused hand, now suddenly so small and frail in hers. "Tell me how you fell in love." Baptiste glanced to the girl at his side then, and a glimmer of light shone through the shadow that had fallen over him. His dry lips curled in an almost smile.
"Aaron and I did not fall in love, sweet child. We plummeted."
The screams had seemed to fade around them then, Baptiste's eyes shining as he left that freezing cage and wandered instead through the summer warm halls of memory.
"We met in the gauntlet of San Michon," he sighed. "I can still see him that morn if I close my eyes. I was new apprenticed to Forge Master Argyle, and he to Freyr Greyhound. He was practicing swordplay, and the sigil of his bloodline was fresh inked upon his chest, so he fought shirtless. And when I saw him..."
Baptiste smiled truly then, awestruck.
"He seemed a statue of some myth come to life. Brave Thaddeus, or mighty Ramesses, etched in marble by the hands of masters, then blessed with life by the lips of God himself. Our eyes met across the circle. We said our introductions, formal and cool. But when we shook hands, his touch lingered a breath too long. And in that breath, I knew I had found what I'd sought all my life. Somewhere to belong. Someone to belong to. No matter the danger, nor the cost, he would be mine, and I his, forever."
The big man hung his head, glancing once more to Chiara.
"I did not know back then what an awful word forever could be."
Dieu put her arms around the black thumb and squeezed, tears shining in her eyes as she found herself back in that cage, that cold. The butchery was near its ending, though. Chiara had almost finished her dreadful work. She'd seemed to take particular pleasure in the last of it, the intricate sigil of the Elon bloodline inked on Aaron's chest. Taking her time, cutting deep and hard, and finally hurling those beautiful serpents and roses into the fire.
"Nay, whisper now," she'd smiled. "Untamed are ye, through and through."
"Damn you,"
Aaron had managed to spit.
"God damn you, and all your cursed kind."
"Nay, my kind, my bonny boy."
She leaned close, planting a cold kiss upon his scarred cheek.
"Our kind. Ye are reborn to the line of great Tolyev, grandchild of Nikita the Blackheart, king and conqueror of this land. All the empire now trembles at the name of my dark father, boy. All Oswe kneels at his feet. And soon, so too shall ye."
Tears spilled down Baptiste's cheeks as his beloved was thrown back inside his coffin with the dregs of Cain's feast. Another torture that Aaron's kin fashioned for him, to be locked in a box with his thirst and the cooling corpse of someone he'd sworn to protect. But at least the silver had been stripped from Aaron's skin, and awful as it had been, Dieu had supposed the Capitaine would now be spared that pain for the rest of his eternity. Jean-Francois chuckled, the historian pausing to sip from his goblet of blood.
"Save that we kiss awake each dusk in exactly the same state we died in,"
Only fire or silver or the darkest of magics might gift us a hurt that lingers longer than a sunset. No mere steel would be enough to spare the Custer his torments. No, the last Liathi murmured. And his captors well knew it. So each day his tattooed flesh would heal. Each night, Dior's eyes opened to the dreadful song of his screams. And Kiara had her dark son dragged from his box and flayed him all over again. Such savagery, the Marquis sighed. Nikita's brood well deserved their fate.
Do not feign outrage, Sheston, Selene replied. You may have finer tailors, but you and your kin are cut from the same cloth exact.
You misjudge us, Mademoiselle Castille, Jean-Francois replied. The blood, Sheston, has no penchant for unnecessary cruelty, nor our empress desire to rule a wasteland.
But Margot still has desire to rule, and while your kin may not openly revel in brutality as the untamed did, you still call yourself shepherds, and God's true children, sheep. The Liathi shook her head. You are an abomination in his eyes, sinner. Unrepentant, unashamed, unafraid, even in the face of the hell awaiting you, and its sovereign shall make a feast of your rotten soul. The historian smiled, licking his thumb and turning a new page. "'Tis a strange thing, to be called a monster by one more monstrous." Selene Castille shrugged, looking back to the ceiling.
"I was always my mother's daughter." And so it was. Over a month after Gabriel had fallen, Dior found herself in the duchy of the legendary Neve Nineswords, the chill and barren wastes of Oswey. To the far north, the dark spine of the Mechesh Nabalok, the Moon's Throne Mountains, where the twin goddesses of old Ossian folklore rested their heads each dawn. To the west, the jagged shores of the Elia Brin, the splintered isles, where Dagan Ironhand was hurled to earth in the Age of Legends. And across the frozen breadth of the Ord River, towering upon a great promontory of the Wolftooth coast, stood the once mighty capital of Neve's realm, and the final resting place of the Mother Marin, the grand city fort of Meigen.
"This place used to be the jewel in Neve's crown," came a soft voice.
Dior glanced to Isla behind her, saw the faraway look in the girl's green eyes. She was an odd one, Joaquin's beloved. She'd seemed traumatized after her rescue at Avalane, but she'd proved solid as stone these past weeks in captivity. She'd seen the fall of Dun Quinn after all, survived more trauma than most, and a strength shone in her now the shock had worn off. Isla helped the other valuables keep their spirits up, even giving up some of her rations so the children locked in with them might eat a little more. And though he never ignored her, it seemed a fire came into Isla's eyes whenever Joaquin was near.
"You've been here before, Isla?" Dior asked.
The lass nodded.
"Ma brought me here as a little girl. We came on pilgrimage to see the sepulchre of the Mother Maid. I'd never laid eyes on anything like it."
"This city used to be one of the mightiest fortresses in the Empire," Baptiste murmured. "Anen du Malay, they named it. The Anvil of the Wolf. The armies of four clans united broke upon these walls. It was said not even God himself could breach them."
The black thumb made the sign of the wheel and sighed.
"Sweet Mother Maid, look at it now."
Dior's eyes were wide as she stared out through the bars at the grand city fort. The Ossian capital was enormous. One city built outside another, ringed by half a dozen walls. The innermost city, known as Oldtun, was all grand buildings of fine wrought stone, high Gothic towers and wondrous architecture, a beautiful old dockside named Portun on its southern flank. The outer city, Newton, was an urban sprawl grown like fungus on the skin of the first. Both Oldtun and Newton were encircled by mighty battlements, and upon the very point of the promontory rose a grand keep of dark stone, the chateau that shared the city's name and the name of the clan that had built it. Dun Mergen.
God, what happened here?
Dio whispered. Same as happened at Avilin, cherie. Baptiste murmured beside her. A battle, and a terrible one by the look. The city's outer walls were crushed to rubble. Many of her buildings collapsed or burned, or simply blasted apart. It seemed the very stone of Mergen itself had been torn apart by the hands of spiteful giants. The smothered sun was sinking. Dior looking to the armoured figures upon the ramparts above. The Newton gates stood 40 feet high, wrought of heavy iron-bound lumber. A great wolf had once been painted on the wood, rampant against 9 blades. But the beast had been painted over with blood, the sigil of Clan Mergen defaced by a roaring bear and broken shield, a motto scrawled beneath by heavy red hands.
Deeds, not words, she whispered.
A shout rang above, and the gates were drawn wide. The great portcullis beyond rose up with the song of greasy iron, and with a command from Chiara, the convoy rolled inside. Wagons and highbloods first, thrallswords next, foulbloods trailing last, as always. Newton was a ruin. Smashed dwellings and tumbled towers. Snow clung to broken eaves, filled gutted shells, wagon wheels thudding and thumping as the convoy was led up a shattered thoroughfare. The prisoners looked about in horror at the destruction. The highbloods were tense, watching the buildings around them with narrowed eyes as crows sang in the deepening gloom. Baptiste pointed, whispering, "Sweet Mother Maid, look." Dior's grip on the bars tightened as she saw figures emerging from Newton's ruins, creeping through the shadows of the sinking sun. Foul bloods, thousands of them. Soldiers in dirty livery, embroidered with wolf and swords. Hollow-eyed women, ragged children flitting among the wreckage like wraiths. Dior shrank back as their stares fell on her, sharp teeth and soulless smiles. Dozens lurched forward, thin and famished, but the wolf mother bared her fangs and the foul bloods cowered, backing away like whipped curs. Chiara glanced toward the headsman.
Kin, see the dogs off, will ye?
The younger vampire scowled, but yet obeyed, opening the rearmost wagon. Folk wailed as Cain reached in and plucked a body at random from within. One of the boys Dior had rescued on the river at Avilaine, his chin fuzzed with soft whiskers, face twisted as he screamed and flailed. Holding him aloft, the headsman proffered the lad to the foulbloods who'd followed them from Avilaine, as if waving a treat to a mob of hungry pups.
Dio, Baptiste murmured. Don't watch, cherie.
But the Grail ignored the black thumb, jaw clenched, tears shining in her eyes, as the headsman twirled the boy like a sack of straw, then hurled him out into the mob. The foul bloods fell on the poor lad, sharks to red water. The wind was howling, but not enough to drown the boy's screams. K
Cain dragged another figure from the wagon, an older woman, fighting with all the desperate strength of the doomed. But the headsman only laughed, throwing the poor soul like a rag doll out into that ocean of claws and teeth. Dior's hands were curled into bloodless fists, her lips moving, her words unheard. Beside her, Baptiste lifted his eyes to the sky, made the sign of the wheel.
"Merci, Almighty Father," he whispered. "Merci."
Dior hissed then, incredulous.
"What the hell are you thanking him for?"
Baptiste met her eyes, his own wet with tears.
"For not making me like them, chérie."
The girl gritted her teeth. The foul bloods tore their feast, and without a backward glance to any of it, Chiara ordered their convoy onward. A horn rang in the dusk, and a second set of gates opened into the city's inner ring. Tall tenements, well-appointed homes, cobbled streets. The buildings in Old Thun were mostly intact, and trundling up the thoroughfare, Dior whispered in wonder as she saw figures. Not cold bloods now, but people. Soldiers, dressed in Divok livery, were stood atop a butcher's wagon, distributing shanks of raw meat to a dishevelled, shouting crowd. Looking out over Porton and the Gulf of Wolves, circled by a third tier of walls, a mighty dun rose into the deepening night ahead. As the convoy rolled into its vast bailey, a horn blast pierced the sky, great flocks of crows taking to the wing and sailing up into the snows. The castle was huge. Even Avalane seemed a mud hovel beside it. But as their wagon came to a halt, Dior's eyes lingered on the broken battlements, fallen spires, sundered walls. Masons were at work with barrows and mortar, but the scars of the attack still ran deep. The air was thick with the reek of fresh death, the hymn of fat flies. Everywhere Dior looked flew the standard of the Divok, that roaring bear triumphant with its broken shield, white upon deep blue. On the north side of the bailey, great barracks loomed beside a smoking ironworks, a distillery that smelled like an open privy, a stable large enough to horse an army with barely a beast left within. On the courtyard's southern side, a grand cathedral stood, reaching up into the storm-washed heavens. Its spires were tall and graceful, a Gothic marvel wrought in dark stone. But it was half destroyed now, roof collapsed, mighty walls gutted by flame.
"Amath Demiag dear,"
Isla murmured.
"The sepulchre of the Mother Maid, built upon the earth where the testaments say she was delivered unto heaven."
The girl signed the wheel. Head bowed.
"Thank you, holy madam, for delivering us from the wilderness."
The bailey was in tumult now, wagons being unlocked and captives dragged out by dutiful scorched. Dior stumbled as her boots hit the cobbles, saved only by Baptiste. She'd no time to thank him. A truncheon cracked across her back, and she was shoved into a line of prisoners, bewildered and babbling. She looked about her in a daze, men and women in Divok colours watching from the walls, shoving at the captives, dividing them into groups.
"What you do, boy?"
a gruff voice demanded. Dior blinked, turning to the man who'd spoken. He was an ill-favoured fellow, blood on his tabard and pig iron in his eyes. Dior saw a tablet of dark stone in his left hand, an intricate thrall-brand atop it, a black heart encircled by thorns.
"What you do?"
he asked again.
"Do?"
she asked. He cuffed her, hard enough to make her ears ring. Baptiste caught her from falling,
glowering at the little man, his fists clenched with impotent rage.
"You're in with the valuables. You must have a trade," the little man said. "So what'd you do? Farrier? Farmer? Fletcher? What?"
Dior shook her head. "I can't do anything."
"Right."
The fellow marked his ledger, glanced to the thug beside him.
"Feast." "Hold now,"
Baptiste said, standing tall.
"I'm a smith. This boy is m—"
A truncheon cracked into Baptiste's legs, and he hit the cobbles, knees blooding the stone. Dior cried out, rough hands grabbing her scruff and squeezing horribly tight.
"Black thumb, eh?"
The little man nodded.
"Marvellous. One of ours just got hisself et by the mongrels trying to escape. We've call for another."
He marked his tablet, nodding to a hulking brute beside him.
"Take Ansem here to the forge. Have Knacker break him in. Throw this little pig dick in the stocks. Don't think they'll need more tonight, but if they do, let me go,"
Dior snapped. "Get your fucking hands off—"
Her arm was twisted behind her back, and she gasped, her bones but a twitch from snapping. She spat a vicious curse, struggling, when a sharp voice cut through the flurry.
"Hold, Patrick. This mouse is mine."
The scorched froze as still as stone, the little ledger man turning to find the wolf mother at his back, her skin pale as marble in the flickering torchlight. Chill wind tousled her thick slayer braids, and she looked at the ledger man like something she'd dislike to dirty her boots with, but would swiftly step in nonetheless.
"My dread Lady Chiara," he said, bowing. "Of course."
"Come, mouse," the wolf mother beckoned. "Your laird awaits." She glanced to the controlled chaos around her. "Bring the tally to me when you're done, Patrick. The bloodlords will bid for their share come the morrow, but I'll be claiming mine afore the dawn."
"As it please, m'lady."
Kira held out her hand. Dior looked to Baptiste, but on his knees the man could only nod, affirming she obey. Isla whispered a blessing, squeezing Dior's hand, telling her not to fear. All around, she could see a struggle of life and death, as grim and cruel as any battle she'd witnessed, playing out not with swords and steel, but sticks of chalk and stone tablets. Terrified people being weighed on some awful scale, their worth not measured by deeds, nor words, nor anything so simple as human compassion, but by their usefulness to the monsters who'd captured them. Children ripped from mother's embrace, wives torn from husband's arms. The sight was too awful to witness, too sickening to believe.
"Little mouse," Chiara growled. "Come, now."
Dior hung her head. The words Gabriel had spoken seeming to ring in the air. "It is a tiny thing, frail as butterfly wings, but it's the foundation of everything to come. It's the gift you're going to give back to this empire." But hope seemed so very far away now. And with no other choice, the girl took the vampire's hand.